Paz a vós.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. As I get ready, can you go ahead and tell each other how happy you are to see you? So go ahead and get up and shake each other's hand, give each other a hug. So my sermons are always short, so I like to do that to kind of eat up some time a little bit. So I'm going to start off here with telling you a little bit about my week first. So I was kind of going through the week, trying to figure things out, see what I was going to speak about. And I was having such a hard time. I was like, all right, no, that one's not good. And I started writing a sermon, right, about excuses. And I was like, no, I can't do this one. I don't like this one. I'm going to offend too many people or something. And then I was just, I usually take two walks. At work, during breaks, right? And people get intense in these walks because they go around the county complex and they're about a mile and a half, right? They'll put on their running shoes and they'll start all intense. And I don't get intense. I just get out of the office. So I'm like walking, right? And as I'm walking, the county jail is just not too far from there. It's on the other side of the complex. And some gentleman's coming towards me and he yells at me. He's like, hey, where are you going? And I was like, what's this guy talking about, right? He's like, where are you going? And he gets closer to me and closer to me. And my human self kicks in. I was like, oh, man. He's going to try to fight me. I'm going to have to fight him back. I'm going to get fired. It's going to be a big mess. And then he's like, tells me again, where are you going? And I was like, I'm on my walk, man. Where are you going? And then he's all, see, that's the problem with everybody. Nobody knows where they're going. They're lost. And then he walks away. And I keep walking. I was like, man, that was weird. I get back to my desk and I was like, dummy, that was God's sign. There's my message. Where are you going? So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, is where you're going. And as we were up in Oregon this last week, we had just left Crater Lake. And when we left Crater Lake, we didn't have phone service, right? So it was kind of, we couldn't put in the GPS, right? So Isabel's like, all right, I got this. So she pulls out this paper map, right? She's going, for the most part, she was doing really good with this paper map. And we're getting closer and closer into Eugene. And as we get closer to Eugene, there's more roads, more choices, more options that she has to choose from. She's like, ah, this is broken. It doesn't work. And she gets rid of it. And she finally was able to get phone reception when she put in the GPS. See, that's how life is sometimes. Sometimes we have no idea where we're going. Sometimes we're lost like the guy was talking about. And sometimes we kind of have a clue how, like, Isabel was giving me directions off of that map. But as soon as it starts to get a little hard, as soon as it starts to get a little tough and there's more choices that we have to choose from, we'd be like, no, this map that we have, excuse me here, this map that we have, it's too difficult, it's broken. And that's how we talk about our spiritual life sometimes. And maybe today you have no idea where you're going. Maybe today you're kind of just here because it's Sabbath and that's what you got to do. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A different version of the Bible says it like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. That's because those people have a vision. Those people can see where they're going. See, vision, it's everywhere today, right? Companies have a vision. You start up a new business, they have their vision statement. Churches have their vision statement. Sometimes when you go on, what's that thing called? LinkedIn, which is your professional like Facebook page, right? You have a vision statement, right? Because that's where you want to be, where you're going. So I'm going to ask you today, what's your vision statement for your spiritual life? And if you don't have one, that's an issue. So I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to give you a minute to write that down. Where do you want to be a year from today in your spiritual walk? And obviously, for some of you, it's going to take a lot more than 30 seconds that I'm about to give you to figure that out. But if you don't have that written down somewhere, if you don't have that in the back of your mind, then what are we doing? If you don't have a goal for you and your family, then what are you doing? So what does a vision truly represent as a follower of Christ? See, a vision is the ability to see the future achievement of God's personal plan for your life. Wait a minute, did I just say God's personal plan? I did. Because see, Christ, personal plan.
No, say the whole statement again.
Okay, let me find my place again. let's see. Okay, so vision is the ability to see the future achievement of God's personal plan in your life. And I said, so wait a minute, did I say a personal plan? And I did say a personal plan because there's no cookie cutter plans in the kingdom of God. There's not this plan fits everybody. No. God takes the time and He shaves things off and He kind of chisels away some things that are not supposed to be there so they can match your life and your walk with Him. You're that special to have a personal plan with Christ. Not to be like, oh yeah, this one fits all the guys, this one fits all the female ladies, all right, we're good to go. If you don't fit in, figure it out. No, it's specifically for you. And I'm sure I've said this a lot up here, you've heard it from me a lot. I really love this verse, but I'm going to say it again. Jeremiah 29:11, who knows it? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God knows these things. And yet, we still can't figure out our vision for our spiritual life. So maybe you're wondering, why do I need a vision anyway? You're crazy, Alex. Talk your 8 minutes and sit down. Right? So first of all, let's reflect back on that earlier scripture that we said. And it says, without vision, the people will perish. See, vision kind of motivates you by giving us a clear direction of where we're going. It specifies our destination. And through that, through the time that we're going to our destination, we kind of need some corrections here and there. And it's important to realize that the vision is dynamic. And what I mean by that is that the vision kind of unfolds over time that you kind of live your life. It's not going to happen from today to tomorrow. It's not how that works. So everybody in here has a past, right? We can't control what happened in our past anymore. That's done. But we can control how we're going to move forward. See, there's a saying that says, it's too late, the tickets were bought, and the journey was taken, and the passport has already been stamped. That's it. It's not like, oh, well, if last week that tire of mine wouldn't have popped, I wouldn't have had to spend all this money, and then I wouldn't have had to spend it all, and I could have given that to the church. Or whatever the case may be, right? Because we always try to use our past as our excuses for tomorrow. See, our map for our life is right in front of you. I'd like to believe that everybody here has one. Everybody here has a Bible, whether it's an actual paper copy or it's on your phone, right? And sometimes it's on your phone. And how many of you take your phone wherever you go? Probably everybody, right? So that means you're taking your map with you wherever you go. But there's a problem there. You have it with you, but how many of you actually take it out and look at it and study that map? Now that's oh no, that's too much, Alex. I got it with me, that's enough. You forget to study the map. Now I was telling Isabel when she was going off this paper map, and I was like, man, people really had to, like, before they left, right, kind of take out their map, plan it out, all right, I'm gonna get off of this exit, go to that exit, go here, go there. And let me tell you, man, I'm so thankful for GPS because I'd be so lost and go through so many maps because I'd probably get irritated. But that's how our spiritual life is. You have to kind of sit there and plan it out. This is where I need to be two weeks from now. This is where I need to be a month from now. You see, this morning, we kind of backed out of our driveway. We drove down Harvard Avenue. I turned right onto Woodland. I turned right onto West Main Street, and the church was on our left. Three turns, and we got to church. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if our spiritual life was just three turns and we're done? But it doesn't work like that. Sometimes there's a lot more turns that you have to take. Sometimes you're going down the road and you're going down the wrong way. Exactly. And I'm going to talk about that here in a little second. But when I talk about going down the road, going the wrong way, the other day we helped Isabel Stia put up her TV. And she invited us to get some tacos over at a taco truck. And we're getting tacos. And I'm like, oh yeah, we got to give you the tour of Visalia, right? Because she just moved to Visalia. And I thought, oh yeah, I've been here a couple years. And I take a left onto, I don't even know what the street name is, because I really don't know Visalia that well. And I thought, oh, it's a one-way street. And it was not a one-way street. There was people coming towards me, and Isabel's freaking out. It's like, it's not a one-way street. And she's all hitting me. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we go the wrong way in our spiritual life. And you have to accept that. You can't deny that part. Because that is a stepping stone to your next step in that spiritual walk. Exactly. See, Psalm 32, I need you guys to turn there, please. We're going to read the entire Psalm 32. Israel's dad used to tell me that in Texas, whoever was speaking wouldn't give you a heads up. They'd just choose you, and you had to go ahead and start reading. So I think I'm going to do that. I think everybody's kind of giving me that smile like I'm super nervous, don't choose me. No, I'm just kidding, I won't do that. If I could just get a couple volunteers here, it's not too many verses, it's only 11 verses, but maybe we can get two people. You'll read the first half and somebody else can read the second half, okay? So Psalm 32, if you're ready and you're there, if you can read that first half for me.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
If somebody can pick up from 6 to 11, please. I think Isaiah got it. Thank you, both of you, for reading that. I'm going to focus on verse 8 really quick, okay? I'm going to reread that. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. It says, I will instruct you. What does to be instructed mean? To train you, right? To direct you, to kind of give you some information. To put in order. And it says, I will teach you. So what does that mean? That means give you knowledge. Give you an insight. Give lessons. Give studies. And it says, I will guide you. Points out the way. When you're at some sort of... We were at the Flight Museum in Seattle, right? And there's so much. And luckily, I just talked to everybody. I started talking to some older gentleman, and he gave us a free tour. But I appreciated that tour guide because I didn't know what any of this stuff was. I was just looking at the cool planes. And sometimes that's what we need. We need a tour guide in our life to kind of show us the way that we need to go in our spiritual life. So choose that one person that can be your tour guide. When you've encountered things that you don't know what to do, reach out to your tour guide. See, one of the problems is that we never ask God for guidance or for help until we're at the very bottom, until we're in trouble, until we're trying to get back up that ladder breaks and there's no way out. And then it's like, oh, okay, God, can you help me now? You constantly have to be communicating with Him. And throughout this communication, usually there's five different signs, right? And we're talking about using a map, so I'm going to use kind of five road signs that I've seen. And one of them I'm just going to share with you that I can't get over is a $6,000 fine for littering in Oregon. I just can't get over it, $6,000. Now, wouldn't that be nice if people that threw junk into your spiritual life, $6,000, pay to the church, buddy. That'd be great, right? But it doesn't always work that way. And the first sign that I'm going to talk about that kind of reflects to what we're talking about, it's just road work ahead, right? We've all seen those signs, and most of the time we slow down if you're actually doing what you're supposed to. You slow down, and you kind of wait for instruction. Okay, where are they going to send me? Are they going to curve me this way, that way? What's going on? Okay, and in our spiritual life, that's where we receive biblical instruction. And we're supposed to be accepting this biblical instruction. Just like we accept the direction of the pilot vehicles, right? Sometimes there's the pilot trucks that kind of come around and then so it says big sign, follow me. And then you follow it through the construction zone, right? That's how it needs to be in our spiritual life as well. You can't be like, I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to go this way. Because our pilot vehicle is always right in front of us. Yet sometimes we do go the other way. And we don't follow it. And then we wonder, well, what happened? Okay? The second sign I want to talk to you about is reduced speed. Okay? And I always get on Isabel's case about this one because, man, she flies down the road. And it's like, hey, turn it down a notch. But our spiritual life, sometimes we want to fly down the road. We don't want to pay attention to the detail. We just want to go fast. But when you have to reduce speed, you have to review your biblical guidelines. You have to do a little bit of research. You have to be reading. Psalm 119, 97 through 100 reads, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation, and I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your law with me. The next sign I want to talk about, Debbie mentioned it earlier, is a detour. Okay? Every now and then, you're going down your path, and God's going to throw in a detour. He's going to tell you, okay, this way's not working. I need to fix this. Go this way. Okay? And that's when you repent, when you feel convicted, and you correct the direction in which you're going. Because oftentimes, I know for myself, when I'm encountered with an issue, I start going one way. And I'm like, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to get it done. Until God slaps me around a little bit. I'm like, here's your detour. Go this way. Romans 8, 14 through 16 reads, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The next sign I want to talk about is watch for construction workers. Usually when you start looking out for construction workers, you kind of slow down, you kind of see they're guiding you, right? They're telling you, or they have the little stop sign or the slow sign. They tell you what's going on. And you kind of feel at ease. You kind of feel like, all right, I got this. They're telling me go this way. I'm going to go that way. Okay? And that's how we need to feel when God is chiseling away in our spiritual life. We need to trust Him. We need to feel secure that He is doing things that are going to benefit our life. Colossians 3, 15 through 16, and they read, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Number five that I want to talk about today is uneven pavement. Sometimes the roads are a little rough. And so are they in our spiritual life. Sometimes you have to realize that the way is often pretty tough. It's not going to be walk in the park. It's not going to always be super easy. We have to expect struggles and surprises that kind of get thrown at us. But through those struggles and surprises, you have to realize that God is going to be able to pull you out of those things. James 1, 2-3. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." See, none of these matter unless you realize you're lost. Unless you realize that you're kind of far away from your vision that you've set. And then you realize that God has a direct route to Him. And the only way, the one-way street, right, is through Christ. And every now, when we're going down that road, yeah, He might say, "Stop, turn around, you're going the wrong way." Or He might say, "It's time to cry out for help." And that's when you reach out to your tour guide so you guys can do it through get together. See, Romans 10:9 reads that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Trust in Him, for He knows the way. Trust. Tony Evans, Isabel kind of got me into listening to his sermon, so I listened to him at work, right? He said that sometimes we put our trust in the dumbest things, but we can't put our trust in Christ. And one of those things is all of you are trusting on these pews to hold you up right now. I don't see none of you kind of putting in a little bit of legwork just in case it's going to fall. You're kind of just sitting there. Yeah, it got me. You can trust in a pew, but you can't trust in Christ. Ugh. That one hurts. Learn to trust in more than just a pew. Learn to trust in Christ. See, realize that God is not your co-pilot. God is the pilot. But He's only the pilot if you allow Him to be. If you're going in the opposite direction, if you're telling Him no all of the time, then God cannot take control of you. Yes, He can because He's God, but you have to choose Him. You have to be able to say yes. You have to trust Him. Psalm 37, 3-5 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Trust in God, guys, and know that He's going to guide you. And have a vision of what you want your spiritual life to be. I'm going to challenge you guys a little bit, and I ask that, I mean, hopefully you guys take it to heart, and hopefully you guys do it, or whatever. But sit down with your loved ones tonight, and map out your vision. For you and your household, map out your vision. Men, you're in charge of that household. That means you're in charge of everybody's spiritual walk in that household. That is on you. And when I think about that one's scary. That one hurts. Because if my beautiful wife isn't doing good, I'm not doing good. So I'm going to challenge you, men. Sit down with your wives. Sit down with your children. Map out your vision for your guys' spiritual walk. Because if your sons and daughters get lost, that's on you. Map it out, guys. Lay out your vision of what you want your spiritual walk to be like. So I'm going to ask you like that gentleman asked me. Where are you going? Are you walking in the Lord today? Or are you going the wrong way? Grace to you and peace be multiplied.